everybody. This is the Hallmarkies podcast, and today we are giving you our thoughts on all of the non-Hallmark movies, that Christmas movies that we have been able to see so far this year. Depending on the movie, not all of us have been able to see it, but those of us who have will give you our thoughts. So it should be pretty fun. Let us know your thoughts as we talk about it. First, we're going to talk about an Up movie called Christmas on the Coast. You got to see the Christmas on the Coast?
Yes.
So yes. What did you think of that?
I think it was super, super cute. I really liked it. I think maybe that the, like, conflict was a little bit predictable because she's an author. I'm like, okay, so she's going to write a book, and then someone's going to find out about it. They're going to get all mad, and she's going to get all mopey. And so that was a little bit predictable. But I really loved – I can't remember the main male's character's name, but I really loved his backstory with his wife and how he opened up about – you know, the bow. And I love the scene between him and his daughter, where his daughter was like, you know, mom would have wanted you to be happy. I want you to be happy. We should all be happy. And I really enjoyed that and appreciated it. Yeah.
Yeah. I also got to see it. And I guess I was primed to love this movie because this was so much better handled than the Bree O'Brien writer's drama, Chesapeake Shores. I would take this any day over all of that nonsense. And so I think, and I think that she was actually a pretty good actress. I thought she did a good job with the role. And I feel like they've definitely put money into these movies. They look nice. They look well shot. I think they've cast them pretty well. I'm impressed with these main two that I've seen from Up. I think they both, like, they don't have a ton of budget, but I feel like it's better
than
in the past. And I don't know. I thought she did a good job of kind of, you could see her sort of her perspective and why she was sort of writing things the way that she was. And then when people finally read it and were hurt by it, like, I think there was a side of her that always thought that, oh, she probably shouldn't do this, but she was just so, like, I don't know, she rationalized it. And I thought it worked. I don't know. I was just, by the end, I was moved by it. I thought it was good. And I don't think that, I guess the dock I would have against this movie is that it does not feel like a Christmas movie, hardly at all.
No, agree? It doesn't feel like a Christmas movie. It really didn't. I was like, oh, this is, you know, just summertime issues.
Yeah.
With some lights.
Yeah, I think that both of their movies that I've seen so far, I think you could say that about both. I don't think that A Christmas Switch really needed to be a Christmas at all.
Yeah.
There really wasn't anything about it with Christmas. So next we are going to talk about a Netflix film, The Princess Switch, Vanessa Hudgens.
And Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, dual role. And so, yeah, this movie, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought she got all the physical comedy. And I mean, I thought her accent was good enough to pass.
To be fair. We do not know what the accent in that country sounds like.
Yeah, that's a good point. But
and she's the only person we saw from that country, so she could do whatever accent she wanted.
Yeah. I was a tiny bit disappointed that they didn't have a surprise musical, but I really liked both of the guys. I thought were super hunky. I liked this guest, Sam Palladino and Nick Sagar, I guess. Love them both. And we got a little bit sexier than a Hallmark movie, which I'm fine with and I enjoyed. And yeah, I really thought it was fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. Like, remember when we were doing the Christmas preview and I got super excited that it was going to be like a secret musical?
Yeah.
Ah, I wish it was a secret musical so badly.
I do too.
So bad. But I will say, most of the time when people come out in their fancy ball gowns and they're all gussied up for the fancy ball, I'm super disappointed in all of the choices that they make. Like, usually I think the girl's dress is stupid and that they've done their hair in a bad way. Not this time.
Yeah,
she looked amazing in her outfit, her ball gown, her hair, the tiara, everything coming together for the greater good.
It's true. She did look beautiful. That was a very pretty dress.
It was amazing. I'm going to be honest, the final reveal at the baking contest was a little a little bit too much for me, because I was just trying to imagine, like, if they would have wanted to do this privately, not on this televised baking show.
Well, but, and that show really made no sense. How did she make a cake without a mixer? She didn't realize that she had no mixer until she was ready to puree strawberries, which is not something that you do with a mixer. Like,
exactly.
So weird. Like, what is going on? And, like, they only had, in this super-duper international competition, I think they only had four teams, maybe five. And I'm thinking, and two of them were from America. I'm like, what is up with this competition? And so, yeah, the whole thing with the baking competition, I kind of had to just pretend sort of like, eh, whatever. But I just thought that they were really charming. I liked his little girl. It was really cute. And I liked both couples a lot.
Yeah.
Which is the important part.
But, like, Amy, if you had to pick between handsome Prince Edward and Kevin, who would you choose?
Oh, the prince, duh. like, no offense, like, your little girl's cute, and I'm sure you're nice and all, but, like, who doesn't want to be a princess?
like, Rachel, same question.
Oh, I mean, we didn't get to see the prince without his shirt, so there's a step up in Kevin's favor, but I really loved Kevin. I thought that he was so nice and such a good dad, which is super attractive quality to have, and so, yeah, I'm Team Kevin.
You're Team Kevin?
Yeah.
My whole thought process with that is, like, I'm a little too young to be a mom just yet. So, like, guys with kids, I mean, yeah, it's a nice quality and stuff, but I'm just like, you know, not yet. Maybe not.
Yeah, because we have quite an age difference. For me, like, marrying somebody with a kid is, like, a plus. Because, like, like, that's sort of the goal at this point, because I don't have that many years left where I could possibly have a kid. So if he already has a kid, this is great. Perfect. We're good.
If in my case, if he already has a kid, that's like, well, did he have it in high school? Like, you know, what happened? Too many questions.
Amber, what team are you?
I'm Team Frank, the bad guy. I'm just kidding. I know that. You don't know who it is?
No, who's the driver? Frank?
Who's the bad guy?
No, it was the snotty lady. She's the one who cut the cord.
You think she was the bad guy?
Yeah, no, she sabotaged her at the competition.
Oh, that lady. I thought you were talking about the au pair or whatever she was.
No, she cut the cord for her mixer to try to sabotage her.
Brianna?
Yeah, she was definitely a villain, for sure.
Yeah, but she wasn't.
Even had that, like, she had, like, that snotty voice.
And she wasn't the bad guy.
She was a mediocre villain at the best. She was a
bad lady.
Fine, whatever. I don't remember who that other person was. But
driver who A, almost ran her over, B, was, like, super schemey trying to find out what was going on with the Duchess.
Oh, was he the one that was taking the pictures?
Yes! Okay,
I do remember him. The paparazzi guy.
He's not a paparazzi guy.
Whatever. He was right there.
He's like a footman or something. That's probably not the right term, but whatever.
Is he a footman?
He's like the heartbreak valet, but worse.
So, Amber, you're dodging the question.
I am. And I will continue to do so. I don't want to ruin my chances with either Prince Edward or Kevin. So,
okay. Rude. JK, okay.
Because obviously he's a prince, he has a whole country. What does Kevin have? An adorable child? Sure, but I could buy children.
An adorable child plus a whole bakery, which might be bad for my waistline, but
it's her bakery.
But he's helping her. Didn't they come to some kind of agreement that they were going to co-own it or something like that? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I can't remember. So anyway, 4 chills. And Amber?
I give it 4.2 chills. More chills than Rachel.
Okay, I'm gonna go with 4.1 chills.
Oh, she's such a good mediator.
Yeah, very good.
I'm like that kid with parents who are fighting all the time that's just like on her phone like, yeah, it happens all the time. I just, you know, ignore it.
I had the chance to see Illumination's The Grinch. I wasn't that excited about this because I'm not a big fan of the studio Illumination. I kind of call them the junk food of animation. Their movies make a lot of money and I guess a lot of people like them, but they're just never really interesting to me. They don't take any risk. And unfortunately, that's kind of what you had here. Like, offensive about it. And if you were looking for a babysitter for your kids, it's not terrible. It has some nice things, some nice moments. I liked the music as far as the carols throughout the movie. It has a decent message, but there were some things that I think they got wrong. I think that it was just very bland, and they kind of weakened the message. It's not as bad as The Lorax in that regard, which I hated, but they turned the message of anti-commercialism of the original story, where the Who's down in Whoville sing despite all their presents being taken away. The Christmas couldn't be gotten from a store. The Christmas means a little bit more. And in here, the main message of the movie is that being lonely is sad, which just isn't as powerful as the old message. I didn't think the humor worked, which in the original short, like, that Mr. Grinch song is so funny to me. And I don't know, they seem to be, the big joke was that the Grinch was an inventor, and I'm not sure why that's funny. So really, the humor really fell flat for me. But again, it's perfectly harmless, but just kind of uninspired and bland, in my opinion. So I gave it 2 stars. Amber, you got to see an additional one on Up, correct?
Yes. So I watched The Chandler Christmas Getaway, which is actually the 5th movie in a series of movies. The first one was in 2013, Marry Me for Christmas. And just a brief synopsis of where this series started. The main character, there's kind of like, it's an ensemble cast, but yeah. Marcy in the first one is definitely the main character. She hires her, she basically forces her employee to pretend like they're engaged. And mm-hmm. then of course they fall in love. And then that's followed
like
up
the
by
proposal.
Us for Christmas, and then a baby for Christmas, Merry Christmas, baby. And then also now Chandler Christmas Getaway. They skipped having a movie in 2017 and I thought they were done, but apparently they weren't, because we got one this year. Thanks, Amy Winter. Yeah. And so this movie, the cast is reunited from all the past movies. So if you liked the last, the whole series, you'd obviously like this one.
Yeah. Very good. Saw a Christian film called Christmas Manger. This is from Pure Flix. And it's kind of weird. There are these Christian films that I feel like sometimes they're very bleak and very depressing. And I don't really understand why they're supposed to be hopeful. I don't really get it. And there are definitely... there's the whole range, but I don't know, there's this particular brand that I guess it's supposed to kind of make you feel like the world is this kind of sad place and you have to turn to Jesus to avoid this kind of cautionary tale. That's kind of how I felt this one. This one was bleak. It was about, this messed up family, this woman who stole from her foster parents. She has these 2 kids and so this abusive partner or ex-husband or whatever that's threatening and has abused her. She has scars, bruises on her body. She goes back and she saves her foster dad from an accident, and they start to heal their relationship. But man, it was just really dark and really sad, and there wasn't enough redemption. I didn't really see how God was helping them enough. I don't know. It was a weird movie, and it's too bad because I actually think the performances are pretty good. And I don't know. It just wasn't hopeful. It wasn't Christmassy, really hardly at all, except for they're building this nativity. But I don't know. It was just depressing. But so I gave it 2 stars. Then we're going back to Netflix, and we're going to talk about the holiday calendar. And this stars Kat Graham and Quincy Brown. And I'm going to go first on this one. And so I thought that this was perfectly harmless. I didn't have any major problems with it. And I liked this guy, Quincy Brown. I thought he was really charming. I'd never seen him before. And there are definitely some flaws in the movie. I think that she is too unlikable for too long. But I thought he was such a fun presence that it was fine for me. And I enjoyed it. It got me in the Christmas spirit. And so I gave it 3 chills out of 5.
That's correct. First of all, I do want to say that Kat Graham was on my list of people who I wanted to be in a Hallmark original movie on my fantasy list that never got released as a podcast. But she's still not. So come on, Kat, you're this close. I liked her. I really liked him. I thought the casting was great. For some reason, the plot just didn't strike me. Like, for some reason, I don't know, it wasn't quite magic enough, or some, like, they didn't lean heavily enough into the magic for me, I think, is the main problem. Like, I needed more magic. If you're going to have magic, don't just do, like, a tiny dab of magic. Like, I need magic. Also, it made me so mad that they named their, like, stop, like, their whatever, their thing their at store. The end, their mm-hmm. store, like, the magic Christmas calendar photography or whatever it was. But it wasn't the name of the movie. Like, they should have 100% had the name of their store be the same thing as the movie. The end.
I did like that advent calendar, though. I had major envy for that.
Yeah, it was dope.
It was really nice. Yeah.
It was super pretty, but I feel like the movie was just kind of like mediocre. Like, it didn't keep my interest the entire time, and I kept getting distracted easily. There wasn't enough, like Amber said, there wasn't enough magic, and it just wasn't like captivating. It was like, oh, cool, I'll have this on in the background type of thing. Not.
I think what I really needed was a little bit of a montage, a bigger montage of like Christmas moments with the calendar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where it was like, not just like, oh, there was a Santa Claus nearby at some point during Christmas, so now it's magic. Like, mm-hmm. I needed more things to prove it was magic.
They, like, underused it almost, I feel like. Yeah. Like, they didn't use it to its full ability. So.
They were too afraid to embrace the magic of the Christmas calendar.
Exactly.
And then she just puts it away for, like, a third of the way through the movie. Like, what?
It can't be magic if it's put away. Like, it doesn't work like that.
Well, so how many chills would you give it, Amber?
I'm going to give it, like, 2.5 chills.
Okay, and so you're not that far off for me.
I know. I didn't, like, hate it. I didn't wish it was dead, but I just wished it had done more.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so Amy, how many chills would you give it?
I'll give it, like, a 2. It was okay.
Okay, good. All right. Then I saw Disney's Nutcracker and the Four Realms, and I was really pulling for this movie. I really wanted it to be good because I'm not a fan of the live action remakes that Disney does for the most part. And this was something new and random and creative, but it was a real failure, unfortunately. Some of the visuals were nice. Some of the costumes were nice. But other than that, a lot of the movie was Clara watching things happen. And including literally a portion where she's watching dancing, which I like the dancing, but I don't know, as a narrative, it just didn't work. There's almost no conflict at all. There's a twist, I guess, at the end and a little bit of conflict, but very little, definitely too little too late. I thought it was very boring and it just didn't do it for me, unfortunately. If you're super into fantasy, you might enjoy it more than me, who isn't that into fantasy. And so I don't know. It didn't work for me. I gave it 1.5 stars. Okay, the last one that we're going to talk about.
Which is not.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
A Netflix original premiere. Therefore, Amy and I were unprepared to talk about it. So it's just going to be Rachel talking about some random Christmas movie she found on Netflix.
No, because Netflix has been releasing these Harlequin romance films. They released 2 this year, and they brand them as Harlequin films because that's part of the branding to sell the movie. And the first one was okay. It's called My Perfect Match is what it was called. And it wasn't great. You'd probably hate it, Amber, but I thought it was okay. This one is called Christmas with a View, and it has Vivica A. Fox and Patrick Duffy. Patrick Duffy has a like ponytail, which was slightly disturbing. And and it stars Caitlin Leib and Scott Cavaliero. The one thing you would absolutely love about this movie, I think, at least, Amber, is there was this one girl, her best friend is named Bonnie, and she is engaged to this man named Clyde, and Clyde is like the most, I don't know, if I can even explain, like, he's a whipped man. Like, he is in love with this girl, and he, and I just thought that was kind of hilarious that they have a couple named Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, it is hilarious. And you know, I feel like we talked about this before the show and you were like, I'm trying to just make sure people know that they shouldn't watch it. You're doing a terrible job of it right now.
Well, I am doing a terrible job, but that was the best part of Bonnie and Clyde. They were really funny. And Clyde would I really think you'd love Clyde. But anyway, the thing that I thought was a missed opportunity at this is if you're going to have a Harlequin movie, like, shouldn't it be a little steamy? It's not steamy at all. There's like 2 kisses. There's a point where Vivica Fox prays with her family. You know, I mean, it's like, what? And I don't know. Like, I don't want it to be like gratuitous and disgusting, but why not separate yourself from Hallmark and do something different? But it's not. And I just, it was really bland. I live tweeted it. I'll put a link down to the live tweet. If anybody wants to watch my live tweet, then you would enjoy that. I had a fun time live tweeting it, but I didn't think that the leads really had great chemistry. And so I was just kind of waiting for every time that Bonnie and Clyde would show up. And yeah, which is probably why I remember their names. I don't know. It wasn't great. It just was kind of bland. And I just thought, again, why not do something different? Be a little more PG-13. And it wasn't. So I gave it 2 chills.
All right. Well, I can't dispute those chills. I can't dispute that it belongs on this list.
Oh, Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at It's Amy Craig and on YouTube, youtube.com/weekendallstars.
Great. And Amber, where can people find you?
I'm at Amber Brainwaves on Twitter, and that's it.
Great. You can find me at Rachel's Reviews on iTunes and on YouTube, so check that out. And thanks so much. Let us know if you've gotten to see any of these and what you thought. So, bye. Merry Christmas.
Bye, guys.